8:15, Galesburg's Morning News. Tom Arida, Tyler Gum, Nick Isher. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning as we are joined by somebody who used to spend a lot of time in this studio. In fact, about 87 years worth. Okay, maybe not quite that long. Jim Lee and Linda Lee joining us this morning. Good morning. How are you guys today?
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Well, thanks for coming in this morning. And why are you here? Because we're celebrating your one-year anniversary of being sucked into the hole of retirement.
We can do that. And I ran out of Mountain Dew, yeah, so see, if you want to load me up again, that would be great.
And Linda, you told me that it was tough to get him awake this morning, to be in here this early.
It is pretty early for a retiree. He had to set an alarm.
Yeah, I always said I just want to get up when it's light. And so I've been able to, at least in the summertime, I realized that goal.
Well, I mean, now it's still, you know, by a little bit before 5, you could be up now.
You could.
It's getting late.
In theory, you could.
Yes. But you could, but you're not.
But with the Cubs playing on the West Coast, you know.
Well, right. You have to. Yes,
Nick has to go to bed, but I don't have
to. All right. So recently you guys took a trip to Tanzania in Africa with an organization called Compassion International. You sponsor a couple of children. And this such a really cool thing. First off, talk about the process, because you and I had lunch just before that. You said this all kind of came about suddenly.
Well, it did. We had gone to Haiti last November, and we'd planned on that one for quite a while. We have a couple of kids there, and it was the first time we'd ever done anything.
Oh, that
like
was
that.
Also with Compassion
yes,
International?
Yes, it was. Okay. Yes. Okay. And we just had a real favorable trip there and thought, this is why we retired, to be able to do some of these things that we never had the time to do when we were working so much. And especially Tanzania, it was a total of, 10, 11 days by the time we traveled. And we thought, let's just do it. And it was interesting, because as we were there, there were times where I would lean over and look at Linda and say, we're in Africa. Yeah, it's just nothing we ever thought we would ever do is go to Africa, and there we were.
I guess because you had done the trip to Haiti. I know, Linda, there you guys saw that's not just poverty, that's poverty, what you saw there.
It's beyond what you can imagine. It really is. It's it was an experience. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily one that I would go back to Tanzania. Not sure I'd go back to Haiti, but I'm very glad we went.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I guess it's your chance to help somebody else out, I guess, is the big thing.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of twofold, because with Compassion, it's a child sponsorship organization. And I think most people are probably somewhat familiar with whether it's World Vision or one of the other ones, and Compassion is one of those. You want to verify where your money is going. I think for all of us, that's very important. And that absolutely happens with Compassion, because you see the good that they're doing for these kids and what that does for their families and what it does for their community. And you meet the pastors that run these projects, and they open the books. You see the money that's spent on the child's health care, his whole history, how he's doing in school. Every letter that you sent there is right there in front of you. So it verifies everything that you're doing here in the United States, and just how much good and impact it's having on that one life, and then spreads into other lives in that country.
Well, and you want to be able to trust that, you know, the money is going and doing good. But I mean, you just can't rely on Sally Field or whoever telling you it. I guess it's really nice, and it wasn't that you guys didn't trust, but it's nice that you get the opportunity to go and verify and see the good it's doing.
Yeah, if you had any doubt whatsoever, you would not after you took a trip.
Yeah, because I've been sponsoring I started in 1987, so it's been over 30 years. And then Linda and I got married in 1991, and I got her on board. And in fact, she has to be the one that holds me back, because they have a wonderful website that tells you all what they do and shows all these kids who need a sponsor. And I'm not allowed on the website anymore, because we sponsor too many kids. And
you just keep going. Yeah, it's probably hard not to, right?
It is, you see the great need and the amount of good that you can do. But now Linda says, you're going to have to go back to work just to keep sponsoring these kids, you know?
Well, so. I'm guessing now that you've seen it in action, it's probably going to be even harder to not sponsor more.
Yeah, because you see, there's only allowed one child per family. So even if they have like 6 kids, they just have one, because they want to spread it around as much as they can as far as a sponsorship. And even just having one of their kids sponsored in many cases is just fabulous for these parents who...
Well, it's life-changing for the family.
It
because
is.
That child is bringing home blessings that they've received, yeah. and it's spread throughout the family. And you can give family gifts. So, for example, one mm-hmm. of the family gifts we gave, they bought, was it a cow or a pig?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, pig. For the family.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
And then that can, sometimes they can start there and then maybe grow a herd and be able to have some sort of revenue stream that they might not otherwise have. Or, you know, they buy something as simple as a bed. You know, we think, well, everybody's got a bed, right? Well, a lot of these people just sleep on a dirt floor. And for them to just be able to go and buy a mattress or two for their kids, and many times their houses are so small, and most of them don't have electricity, certainly don't have plumbing. They will rotate their sleeping shifts. They have one bed, one bedroom.
Wow.
And so, you know, they'll go in, sleep, and then the next one will come in and sleep. So it's, you know, it's a hard life, but they smile more than we do many times. Yeah. And it makes you wonder, there's something that's more to life than having things, I guess.
And I guess we take so much for granted that a little, something we think is little and insignificant, they obviously appreciate more.
Oh, yeah. And they can make do with, and I'm sure back, you know, in the colonial days in America, it was right. a lot of the same type of thing. But, you know, you throw a soccer ball out, and I mean, it's just gone. These kids are just, they take it and they are playing soccer. But then when the soccer ball invariably gets punctured because they have thorns and different things out there, they, you know, they'll find trash bags, you know, like a Walmart type bag and find, you know, 30 or 40 of them and wrap them all up real tight, and they'll play soccer with that all day. You know, I mean, they just find a way to make do with whatever they have.
You throw a football out and they just look at it?
Pretty much. You try and tell them this is football, yeah, and then like, they get no, the no, soccer no. ball. Yeah. This is football.
This is football. Yeah. See, this is with our feet. You're throwing that thing.
Yeah. Yeah. We taught them how to throw a frisbee. That took a little while, but yeah. they caught on to that one.
Yeah. Jim Lee, Linda Lee joining us this morning, Compassion International. Talk about a little bit the organization itself, if somebody's interested in at least finding out some information. Can you tell us a little bit about Compassion and how somebody might find out about them?
Probably the easiest way would be to go on the website, okay. which is compassion.com.
.org.
.org,
yeah.
sorry.
Yeah.
And they have, their website's very, very easy to follow. They have an app, too, so if somebody wanted to use an app. But it'll show all of the kids that are needing sponsored, and there are a lot. You can choose your country. So if there's a particular country that you're interested in, you can choose that country.
You can choose the sex of the child. You can choose the age. If you want somebody that has the same birthday as you, it's a lot of different options. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that my sister just sponsored, too, from Indonesia, and she picked her birth date and her husband's birth date. So the kids have to share the same birth date. They figured that was an opening to being able to communicate with the kids. Hey, right. we share your birthday. So, or sometimes people will sponsor kids of the same age as their kids or grandkids. Both of our kids in Tanzania are 11, which is the same age as our granddaughter, Emily. So that was kind of fun.
How many countries, do you know how many countries they sponsor kids in? I'm guessing it's a lot.
No, it changes a little from time to time, probably 15 or 20. We used to have some kids in India. And then the Hindu-Indian government started to crack down on Christian programs there, mm-hmm. And they kicked some out, and unfortunately Compassion was one of those. So those things happen in different countries from time to time. But most of Latin America, the Caribbean, probably six or eight countries in Africa, and then I think Indonesia, like you said, Sri Lanka, Philippines. So it's, yeah, you can pick whatever spot in the world you want to sponsor a kid.
That's really cool. Compassion International. I'm sure if you just Google it, you'll be able to find all the information you need. So Tanzania, you know, kind of a surprise. Suddenly you go, how much advance notice did you have when you got the chance to go?
It was, we first started considering it in late last year, okay. right after we got back from
right.
Haiti.
Right.
And we saw they're going to be taking a trip to Tanzania in June.
Which was full. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. And it's interesting because I said, well, that would be kind of neat. It would be a long ways, but and it was full. And so we prayed about it and said, God, if you want us to do this, the trip's full, but maybe there'll be something come up. We'll put our name on the wait list. And if it works out that way, then we're meant to go. And it was probably 3 weeks later. I was looking on the site, and it showed some availabilities, so I called, and they said, yeah, we just had a cancellation. And I looked at Linda. I said, so should we go? And she said, well, we prayed about it. God's given us this opening.
There you go.
We can't say no now, right?
Right.
And so, then we found out in late January, early February that we were going. And again, having been to Haiti already, we kind of knew the drill, what to expect, what to prepare for. just on a little longer travel version.
Well, and you said there were certain, and when we talked before you went, that certain, not necessarily restrictions, but suggestion as far as your clothing and things like that, as far as, okay, well, kids wear T-shirts and shorts, yes, and that type of thing, right?
Each culture has its own. In Haiti, it didn't be just wore T-shirt and whatever. But in Africa, they're a little more formal, and Linda got to wear long dresses all week.
I got to buy a lot of long skirts, yep.
Yeah.
Was not part of my wardrobe prior to Tanzania.
Yeah, and so that was for the women. And for the guys, they said there they tend to view wearing shorts as kind of juvenile. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we could wear blue jeans, right, but pants to church and not T-shirts so much. They wanted either a polo shirt or a button-down shirt. You know, even when you're out in the back 40 of Africa, you know, mm-hmm, people still dress a little bit more modestly and a little better than they would in a lot of other places.
Mm-hmm. Well, the one thing I was surprised by the pictures on Facebook of your trip, that they actually allowed, and maybe, who knows, I don't know what they said about you, but you had this blue cap with this red C on it. I'm really surprised that was allowed. I mean, did anybody ask about it? Did you have to explain?
Oh, I proudly explained. This was before the five-game losing streak. But,
right.
In fact, I took our young boy Joshua there, a Cubs cap and a Cubs shirt, so, you know, we could get him indoctrinated in that halfway around the world.
Oh, my goodness. I thought you would teach him right. I mean,
we did see one cardinal cap.
Really?
Yeah,
that's strange.
I can't remember where I saw that, but I thought that was strange too.
Yeah.
Why would you?
Yeah, and a Mike Hoffpower jersey.
Yeah, I think a cardinal cap is strange in Illinois, let alone in Tanzania.
Okay.
So
okay. Well, so you flew? You fly out of Chicago or?
Yeah, Peoria to Chicago, uh-huh. Chicago to D.C. D.C. to Addis Ababa, Ethiopia.
Oh, man.
That was 16 hours. And then another
13 on the way there.
Yeah, that's right. And then another 2.5 from Ethiopia to
Kilimanjaro.
Yes, right.
Wow.
And then coming back, they routed us through Dublin, too. So we stopped there to refuel, mm-hmm, which seemed to me geographically kind of odd to go that far north, but that's the way they do it. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
Wow,
that's a lot of flight time.
A little bit of jet lag, mm-hmm, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
It really wasn't bad.
Really?
It really wasn't.
After one good night's sleep, we had it. But the day we were going through all that, because you're just going through all the time zones and it never gets dark, and we would just kind of look at each other with this, you know, your body's telling you that it's the middle of the night, but your watch is telling you it's the morning or the afternoon. So you just roll with it.
Yeah. So Tanzania. So you mentioned Kilimanjaro Airport. So you're like in the shadows of Mount Kilimanjaro, is that?
Yeah, it was a little farther off in the distance, and it was funny because the story was it was overcast, and it tends to be with the mountains, you have some clouds and you can't see the peak. We never did see the top of Kilimanjaro the whole time we were there, and until we got on the plane to leave, and once we got up above the clouds, the sun was, and it was shining on the snow-topped peak of Kilimanjaro. We got pictures out of the window of the airplane. Wow. It was just really majestic.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So so mountains and then like open plains, savanna, or kind of a different geography?
It was both. It was some of the savanna that we had, you know, you envision with the trees. I can't remember, they had the kind of the flat tops and stuff. But a lot of mountains. We said it looked a lot like Colorado in some respects when we got out into the mountains, only instead of having civilization, you had third world, you know,
it was
conditions.
Actually beautiful countryside. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely beautiful countryside.
Wow. And you got to actually go on a safari. I want to talk about that coming up, too, that you got to see a couple animals. Didn't get chased by any, I hope.
No. I kept expecting to see a T-Rex chase us down, but it didn't happen, thank goodness.
We're going to take a quick break. 8:29, Galesburg's Morning News.
I answered the
bell.
Let me fade this down, and I want to bring this up instead here. Oh, what happened to my sound? Here we go. Is that from an actual church service or in Tanzania?
Yeah, when we'd visit a different project every day. And usually when we would come in, they would have prepared a special song or two for us. And so we would go into their community/church building, and so they would have a song ready, and that was one of the wonderful memorable mm-hmm. parts, I think, everywhere we went, that we were their honored guests, and it was, you know, it's kind of like you're a rock star getting to come in and the kids all run out and greet you.
They're so excited.
They lead you in. And they have you go in, and then each one of them, the kids will come grab your hand. And so you're interspersed among all the kids. You know, they just want to sit there with you. And for many of them, you're the first white person they've ever seen in person. And so, you know, for the guys, they'll touch our arms because we have hair on our arms and they don't. And they're fascinated by that. For the girls,
oh, Linda, my gosh, the girls with long blonde hair especially just constantly have fingers in their hair.
Really?
Because they've never seen blonde hair. They don't have long hair. Their heads are mostly shaved for health reasons. And so, you know, the girls would sit there during – whether it was singing or someone speaking, and they'll have three or four kids just with hands in their hair the entire time.
Mm-hmm. That would take some getting used to, probably.
It does.
Yeah. Well, some of it's pulling a little bit. You see their head go back, but they understood that was part of it. It's kind of a sense. And the compassion directors, they say it's healthy for the kids to, you know, to learn about these things and have a hands on. So you're kind of under in the fishbowl a little bit too there.
Jim and Linda Lee joining us. They recently took a trip to Tanzania with Compassion International, got to visit the children that they sponsor, and it sounds like a great experience. And you mentioned the song that we played, they were singing in Swahili, which is that number one language, and English mm-hmm. number two, is that right?
Yes, okay, exactly.
So most of them do speak two languages then, is that, or a lot
the
of them?
Older or, the older ones do. Okay. The younger ones haven't quite learned English yet, so we had a lot of translators that would be roaming around trying to help with being able to communicate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we always had one or two full-time translators with our group. Mm-hmm. And then the day where we met our children, for each child, there was a translator. Mm-hmm. So it was a one-on-one thing. You could have better communication. But yeah, the Swahili was definitely the predominant. But there was more English spoken there than I think
in
Haiti.
Yeah,
because that's French, and they didn't really encourage that much English.
Well, they don't have public school, so they don't have an opportunity to learn English, whereas in Tanzania, they have public school, and English is one of the required courses. So
you were out in what would be considered a village, but it wasn't necessarily what I would think of as a village, just like a few houses and huts. Is that right?
It was pretty much what you would think. Now, the first couple of days we flew into Arusha, which is a town, I don't know, maybe the size of Peoria, if that big.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's that big.
Yeah. But it was still a city. And then the next three nights we went out into the country, into the mountains, into Karatu. And we were both much more comfortable there, I think, because we're rural people. Mm-hmm. And we'd take our buses, go back through the gravel roads, and I mean, you're really back in the sticks of Tanzania. But then we'd come across one of these projects, and there would be an average about 200, 250 kids probably at each project, and they draw for several miles around.
Okay.
So, well, the Maasai still have they still live the old tribe way. Mm-hmm. I don't know how else to describe it.
The
I mean, they're the men are in red wrapped garments mm-hmm. with sandals and sticks, big tall sticks to herd their goats or cows, and they still live in the huts with the grass roofs, and see a lot of that.
Yeah, in a circle, you know, mm-hmm. Especially driving along the road, you have probably every several miles there on one stretch, you would see mm-hmm. those huts, mm-hmm. you know, going back I don't know how many years.
Wow. So the Maasai, are these like taller people? Is that
not necessarily?
Okay, I wasn't sure.
No, maybe there's... if you got into Nigeria, Uganda or something, maybe. Yeah. But in Tanzania, it's just I tried to equate it maybe to like Amish here a little bit. They mm-hmm. said, well, not so much, but they're. There, a lot of them are still are Christians, mm-hmm. but they still adhere to the shepherding.
Mm-hmm.
They're
herders.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, there's so many times you're going down the road and you stop because the herd's going across the street or walking down the street. A lot of it is done alongside the highways.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's very interesting as you drive through the countryside.
So you did have a chance to actually go on safari
mm-hmm.
and actually see. Was this like in a game reserve or
the national forest?
National forest. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, which it was a little disappointing in the fact that the Serengeti wasn't too far from us, but it was kind of the opposite direction from where we had been staying. So they tried, it's called Manyara, I believe.
Manyara National Forest.
And but because it had so many trees, it made it difficult to see. We saw some elephants and some giraffes, but they were a little farther away in the trees. Excuse me. So you wouldn't get a real clear look at them.
A lot of baboons.
We saw a lot of baboons.
A lot of baboons.
Monkeys in the trees. A lot of zebras. A lot of wildebeests. But just we didn't see a lion the whole time. So
that may be a good thing, though.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
You don't want to see it too close.
Maybe that's why we're still here.
Yeah. Were you like on a bus or okay?
Yeah. We had two buses following each other through. And it got kind of hot because our air conditioning wasn't working, and these tsetse flies flew in. And if you're familiar, they're a big, nasty fly, and they can carry some bad things.
Malaria, among other things.
So the guy that was our guy said, get the windows rolled up. And so we did, got him out of there. But then with the windows rolled up and we were rolling greenhouse, it was about 91 degrees on that bus for a lot of
the locals were very serious about the tsetse flies.
Really?
They said, get the windows closed. And I mean, and they're killing them like as quickly as they can. So there must be some real danger.
And I think that was because we were in that forest area. If we'd have been out on the Serengeti, it might not have been. So that it was still good. It just wasn't maybe quite what we had hoped it would
be. Well, it sounds like a pretty unbelievable experience. And again, as I guess the cool thing is meeting to, you know, kind of seeing where your money has gone and actually getting to meet the kids that you sponsor and everything.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, like for Joshua, the boy we sponsor, this was I was the first one from his project that ever came to visit them, and you know, like 258 kids, and the guy that brought him to a sponsor day said that it was such a new experience because he never left his village.
Wow.
So he goes, they stayed overnight at a hotel. He had never seen indoor plumbing.
He didn't know. He was 20 questions. Like he was fascinated by how to turn the faucet on.
Oh wow! Yeah,
never
seen
a shower.
You don't even think of.
Yeah.
Never seen a shower. Was totally fascinated by how does this work and how what do I do?
And a plug in on the wall. You know, he'd never seen electricity like that. And so it in addition to him meeting us and establishing that relationship with him, it also was a great field trip for him to get out and see some of these things that he might not otherwise ever have seen.
Yeah. Interesting. So, Google Compassion International, and I guess somebody, Dave Dunn said he actually tried to find under compassion.org, but he said it wouldn't come up, but came up under compassion.com.
Oh, so that's what you said, Linda. So
She's
the tech person. She knows.
She is, yeah. But, you know, the theme for, we ran a vacation Bible school type thing for them one day, the first day we were there. And Linda, you did crafts, which went really well. You made handprints, and the kids enjoyed that. The theme we used was Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And so that was the whole thing. You're trying to encourage these kids to have hope.
Right.
And that's part of compassion. Yes, you're providing health care, you're providing food. They have great vocational training.
I was very impressed with the vocational training.
They teach carpentry. They teach sewing. They had some farming, like some greenhouse type things
fisheries.
Set up. Fisheries.
So you got more like sewing. So you can be at least self-sufficient or as a trade or kind of a combination? Okay.
Both. Yeah. Something to get these people out of poverty and so that they can have something practical and give them not only money at some point, but a sense of pride and it develops them and it develops the whole country. But ultimately it's all done. And the difference with compassion and a lot of other organizations, they always predicate it within Jesus' name because they feel like the spiritual component in Christ is where it all starts. And that's where no matter what happens, you know, to the kids economically or not, they've got that great hope in Christ. And without that, compassion probably doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And they just make sure that is the focal point, that these kids can have a relationship and know their Savior, and then that creates such a joy in them to know that there's a great hope for them going forward.
What a cool experience, and you're going to do it again in October, just a shorter one though, right?
Yes. Yeah, we're going to Honduras. Mm-hmm. We've got a little girl down there, And so, yeah, it's a four-day trip. Yeah. And so, we just figured for this little window of time in our life, we're going to do these things that we'd wanted to do, and then we'll see if we run out of – once we run out of money.
Well, and if I can add just one thing that, mm-hmm. that really impresses me with Compassion International, it's that their goal is not to be there forever. Their goal is a generation and train a generation spiritually, education, you know, get them the education, get them the health care they need, but also teach them to be self-sufficient. And the gentleman that started Compassion did exactly that in South Korea. They were there for 41 years, and then they left because they accomplished their goal. So the goal is not to become dependent.
Right.
The goal is to become independent, and I think Absolutely. That's very important also.
That is great.
And now they have people in South Korea who are actually sponsors of kids in other countries.
Oh, wow.
That's what you're, yeah. that's what full circle. You're hoping, yeah. hoping yeah. to do.
I guess the biggest downside, no Mountain Dew.
Right, we had to live on Coke.
Yeah, oh,
but
man.
even that, after warm bottled water all day, the Coke, cold
good, right?
Coke at the end of the day was pretty nice.
All right, well, Jim and Linda, thanks so much. Really do appreciate you taking some time to come in this morning.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for having us on. And if you're listening, there's not much better you can do
with $38.
Yes, a month. I mean, we will verify that it does as much good as you could ever imagine for a kid and a community elsewhere in the world.
So Google Compassion International or Compassion.com and find out more information. Thanks, mm-hmm. guys.
Yep, appreciate
Thank you.
It.